Well, it's a privilege to stand and minister the living words of God, to hear from the living God in His Word. It's a great privilege and blessing for me to be here because I don't deserve it. None of us deserve this. This privilege to have this Word opened for us and to see the life that's here. There's an amazing passage there that was read. Indeed, all of Scripture is inspired. Thank you, Brother Rob, there for bringing us the Bible reading. A very sobering word and yet a great promise in the midst of that. A promise for humanity, a promise for mankind. Redemption from sin. And as Rob said, the Lord Jesus declared things in parables, and in this particular Scripture, He expounds the parable to His disciples. He actually sends the multitude away and He declares to those that are close to Him the parable that He sets forth. So as we turn to this Scripture again, Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, let's ask the Lord's help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would open the Word to us today, that You would speak from heaven, Father God, that this living Word be, Lord, on my lips as a tongue, as a sword, Father. I pray that Your Word would come to every heart, minister to every need, Father. Where there's encouragement needed, bring encouragement. Father, where there's exhortation, bring exhortation, Lord. Where there's rebuke, bring rebuke. Lord, speak to us, Your people. We eagerly await to hear from You. We ask Your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray the Holy Spirit open this Scripture up to us this morning. You know, the Lord didn't declare anything except that it be in parables. Without a parable, it says in verse 34, just preceding our Bible reading, that He spoke those things to the multitude in parables. Without a parable, He did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been secret, kept secret from the foundation of the world. The Lord is uttering things which were secret before the foundation of the world. That's amazing. That's an immense thing, that the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, should come down to dwell amongst sinful humanity and to declare things which were hidden. These things were secret. Before the foundation of the world, they were hidden from man's eyes. We know the prophets and the psalmists, men of God, they saw in part. They had partial revelation of this Messiah, of this plan of redemption, of this plan of salvation. And the Lord Jesus came, He declares things in parables, and then to His close ones He expounds, He explains this parable. So when the multitude went away, His disciples came to Him in verse 36 saying, declare to us the parable of the tares of the field. And Jesus begins to explain, and we read these words. Jesus answers and says to them, He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man found, he hides, and for joy thereof he goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathereth of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus then says to His disciples, He says, have you understood all these things? And they say unto Him, yes, Lord. Then said He unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which brings forth out of his treasures things new and things old. You know, in the middle of this whole parable, friends, there is a description of a pearl, the pearl of great price. There is one who is a merchantman seeking goodly pearls. And when he finds one of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that. I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal the meaning of this scripture to us as we read this morning. You know, Jesus declared things from the foundation of the earth that were hidden. And he declares things to us this morning from his word. And it may be our only chance to hear them. Friend, you know, this may be the only opportunity for you and I to hear these words again. We don't know when our last days, we cannot count our next breath. Do not squander the chance to hear this word, to receive it and engraft it in your heart. You know, when the Lord Jesus began to declare these things to his disciples, they sat in stunned silence. They sat in stunned silence, and he declared to them mysteries that were hidden from the foundation of the earth. He declared to them in immense things. He declared to his disciples eternal wrath for some and a future of righteousness in heaven forever for some. He begins to declare the work of the enemy. He declares the work of the Father in heaven. And he says, you know, that there are these two great absolutes, these two things that are at odds ends. And I pray this day that we would be on that side, that friend, if you're here today and you have received the gospel in your heart, maybe speaking to you as a born-again believer, be with me, pray for me. Friends, if you haven't heard this before, friends, if you are here, and this is new, and this mystery has not been revealed to your heart, I pray you would receive it. Receive it in your heart. Receive that eternal things are revealed here before you. You know, the Lord Jesus, he declares these things, and they sat in absolute silence. His disciples were stunned. The only answer they could say was, "Yes, Lord. Have you understood all these things?" This was an immense parable that was set forth. There was immense gravity in these words. There was eternal damnation for some and eternal righteousness in the heavens for others. The Lord Jesus declares this to them. And they're sitting in stunned silence and he asks them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they comprehended. And they said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And that was the Spirit, friends. The Holy Spirit alone can minister to your heart and can make the Word of God real to your heart. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit alone. And that's what took place when the disciples could answer and could say, "Yes, I understand." I pray that would be you this morning, friend, that you could say, "Yes, I understand these things. I understand what is spoken here today." You know, if you were to title this message, it would be "The Pearl of Great Price." You know, because in the middle of this whole discourse, in the middle of what the Lord Jesus explains to his disciples, he notes just in a couple of verses, verse 45 and 46, a certain portion relating to a goodly pearl, a pearl, a beautiful pearl, a fine pearl. And he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. You know, when I was growing up, friend, I knew the cost of coming to Christ. I knew the cost because I was in a God-fearing environment. I knew what the cost would be for me to accept Jesus Christ. I knew that I would have to forsake all to follow him. I knew that, and I withheld that as a teenager, and I regret those years. I knew what the cost was. There was the scripture and there was the cost. But I chose to go my own way. The Lord Jesus declares this parable, and the way I always understood this parable, especially as a youngster, was that I have to forsake all for Jesus Christ. And friends, you do. You do. When you come to him, you must lay down your life. You must give him your all, your flesh and your blood, your body, everything that you are to be his. There is no other way to salvation. It is a life for a life. Friend, we give him ourselves and he gives us himself, the greatest treasure that the world could ever know. And you know, I withheld this as a youngster. I held back because I knew the cost. I didn't want to give up my music. I didn't want to give up my addiction to sport and everything else. I knew the cost. I knew what the cost was. And I always understood this passage to be centered around what I can give up for Jesus. How I can lay down myself. So, you know, when I came to the Lord, I always understood this passage that He is the pearl. He is the pearl of great price. And I've found Him. And I'm going to give my all for Him. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to bow down. I'm going to worship Him, the God of heaven and earth. And my whole life will be surrendered completely to this God of heaven and earth. And that, you know, I lived off that. I lived off that. That I've given myself to Him. And you know, the Lord asks us to come to Him like that, friend. The Lord asks us to receive Him like that. Because Christ to you, friend, today, Christ to you today is absolutely precious, or you've trodden Him down. There's no middle road, friends. Christ to you this morning is an absolute precious pearl. He is your all in all. Or you've trodden Him underfoot. That's the gospel. That's how the gospel is declared to this world. That He is your all. He's your life. He's precious as a pearl. A goodly pearl. A good and beautiful thing. But the heart and the mind deceive us, friends. The heart and the mind want to tell you that there's a middle road. Your heart and your mind want to tell you that in the flesh that, you know, there is some middle ground here. That I can still hold on to my old life and that I can have Christ. And friends, that is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. We've got to understand this. That there is an immense cost here. There is a sacrifice. You know, I understood it this way. And it was only until a godly old man, years ago, he said to me, he explained this passage to me. He said, friend, you know, Jesus Christ is that merchant man. Jesus Christ is that one, that buyer, the seeker. You know, God seeks after man. God is the seeker. God seeks you out, friend. If you're His, if you're a child of God this morning, it's because God has sought you and He has bought you with a price. And He was irresistible to you, friend, and you received Him. And you know, He said to me, and He explained these words. He said, you know, this merchant man is God. He goes after the pearl. He goes after, he sees off afar this precious pearl. And he leaves and forsakes the splendor of heaven. He leaves and forsakes the presence of the Holy One. And he comes down to wretched humanity, whom he knew would reject him. And he selects from that humanity a precious pearl. And he gives and spills his blood. And he's nailed to that tree. And there he dies in the place of sinners. He is pierced. He is humbled and spat upon and reviled. And he wins the pearl. He wins to himself that which was hidden in the mystery of this gracious and glorious gospel from the beginning of time. Malachi 3:17 says, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him." God is saying, "They shall be mine, my people, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him." Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation." Oh, friend, is that your experience this morning? Has He clothed you with the garment of salvation? Can you feel it on your back? Can you understand that you're cleansed in His sight? You're His child, friend. "He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks herself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Friend, this morning, if you are Christ's, you are His jewel. And that great scripture in Hebrews 12:2, when we say that we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, the joy, the pearl. Friend, that's what He died for. He died for the pearl of great price. He came and He endured the shame. It says that He suffered. He despised. He was despised and He's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friend, He's done that for you and for I. Will you receive Him if He's not your pearl? If He hasn't made you your pearl? It goes both ways. It really does. It really does. But the overarching thing is this, friend. Jesus Christ has chosen a treasure before the foundation of the world. And this morning, as we who declare the gospel here from this place, who stand in the fear of God and declare this gospel, we declare the same things as Jesus declared. We say what He said. That's a fearful thing, friend. That's a fearful thing for me to declare this to you this morning. That, friends, when you go and you speak to people on the streets, when you go and you may door knock, when you have acquaintances of friends, and when you share the gospel, you know, you're speaking life to some and death to others. You're confirming some. And you're speaking to them, as grievous as it may seem, damnation. This is the scripture that the Lord declares to us. Not everyone will be saved. The heart's desire of the Lord is that they all be saved. That the heart's desire of God's people is that man be saved, that man be redeemed. Yet the reality, friends, is that He has, before the foundation of the world, chosen in Him a precious pearl. A precious, precious pearl. Romans 8:29 declares, "For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Friend, if the Holy Spirit is drawing your heart this morning, yield to Him. Yield to the Lord. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He saw that pearl, friend. And that was the good pleasure of His will. He saw it afar off. And for the joy set before Him, He sold all that He had. He came down to humanity and He died. He died in our place. Ephesians 1:11 also says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Jesus Christ is the seeker. You know, He is the seeker. We may say man is seeking after God. If God has put that in their hearts, they will. But God is the seeker. God is the merchant man. And He's looking for more of those goodly pearls to make up that ornament for His glory. To make up that ornament. Friend, won't you be a partner in the gospel? If you're His, won't you seek out with Him those pearls? You know, we've got a smorgasbord lunch at the back here. But you know, we need to feast on the smorgasbord of His Word. You know, we need to feast on this Word, friend. And then go out with this Word. Not just be feasting for ourselves. But friend, we've got the living words to declare to man. I encourage you, I exhort you, if you are His, seek out the pearls with Him. Work together with God. Be a co-worker with Jesus Christ in His kingdom, in the spreading of the gospel. You know, the gospel is declared also in John chapter 3, and we know the discourse there with Nicodemus, where the Lord Jesus, He came and he also declares things that are hidden from the foundation of the earth. And in John's gospel, you know, the same declaration is made as we just heard. You know, there is judgment to some and there is eternal life in Christ Jesus to others. And the Lord Jesus puts it forth this way in verse 14, John 3 and verse 14. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now you know the scene in the wilderness. The Israelites, the people of God, had sinned. There they are, lamenting being bitten by vipers. And Moses lifts up a serpent in the wilderness. They take up to themselves and make an image of a serpent, and whoever can look to that serpent, they have instantaneous healing. Instantaneous healing from the viper bites. Here they are in the midst of a terrible judgment. And Jesus declares this, and he says, even as that snake, that serpent was lifted up on that post, even so the Son of Man, I will be lifted up, and I'll hang on that tree, that whoever looks to me will not perish. Whoever believes in me, there was a requirement. Israel had to believe that they would be healed when they looked to that pole, looked to that serpent. And they looked and were immediately healed. There is a greater healing. The Lord Jesus declares the healing of the sin-ridden soul. The healing and the cleansing of a perverse heart. And here he says, that's whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus, whoever believes in him who is lifted up, will not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn the world, friend. You know, there is a place, a lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And there we see in the parable described in Matthew 13 that the tares, the ones that are of the wicked one, are pulled out and are thrown into that fire. God prepared eternal rest for us, friend. He made the garden for us, the Garden of Eden, to walk in fellowship. And when we squandered that, none of us deserved eternal salvation. Friend, none of us deserve to go back to Eden. None of us. Me first. I deserve to be that tear, plucked up and thrown in the fire. All of you do, friend. All of you. All of you deserve it. Deserve absolute damnation. And yet, for the joy set before him. For the joy set before him, friend. If you are his this morning, if you are God's child, he chose you and he plucked you out of the devil's hands and you're his child, and praise be to the Lord for that. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. He is not sent for condemnation, but the living gospel is here for us to declare. Yet not all will receive this, friends. Not all will receive, but we are to declare it. In 1 John 5:10, we also read that he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. Friend, you have that in you this morning. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his own Son. God declares this to us, friend. God declares this glorious gospel. And it's in Christ alone. And it's in this perfect plan of salvation that you this morning, friend, have believed. And today, if you are not his, the wrath of God abides on you. He that believes not is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, he has come to free us from wrath. The wrath was self-inflicted, friend. The wrath of God abides on you if you're not his. And it's self-inflicted. It's not because you were brought up in a Christian household or whether you were brought up out in this world. There's no difference, friend. It's whether or not you have received this gift, that you have counted the pearl of immense cost and dear to you. Have you seen what he has done? As Wayne declared to us a couple of weeks ago, have you seen what God has done? If you were here a couple of weeks ago, have you seen, can you comprehend what God has done? And the answer, friend, simply is no. You haven't comprehended it. Because not until the end of eternity will you comprehend the length and the breadth and the width of the love of the Savior who has bought you with a price. Friend, if you're saved this morning, go out and preach the gospel. I motivate you this morning. Go out. Do not hold back. Do not close these lips from declaring this gospel, even though you know you'll be rejected. Jesus knew he would be rejected. He knew his own would receive him not. Friend, it's like me going back to, or you going back to your father's house. Picture that. Going to your own household after being away and stepping in and not being allowed in the door. Or fathers, you leaving your own household and going away on a journey and then coming home and your wife and your children saying, no, out. Out. He came to his own, yet they did not receive him. And friend, even though we are in the midst of perilous times, we're in the midst of days where darkness is dark, friend. The darkness is dark out there. Yet we are to take this light, this glorious gospel, and not close this mouth, but declare it. Even though we know we may have rejection, we are to go as Jesus went, lovingly declaring this gospel, and there will be some that'll be saved. And the Lord knows those. And friend, if you're not saved this morning, has this word spoken to your heart? Be bold. Young person, if you're not received him, but you've grown up in a Christian environment, a Christian home, be bold. Step out. Receive him. He is a great pearl, friend. Yet he chose you and me. And the mystery is this, friend. When he saw the pearl, when he looked at you in your sinful state, what attraction? What attraction for a holy God is there in you and in me? The best of us. The best of us. Who have lived moral lives, perhaps. The best of us. If we were to count our sin and stack them end on and every hidden thing, the vileness of that would cause us to be sick, literally. How could the holy God of the universe come down and see something and declare it a pearl? Friend, the mystery is this. He saw the blood of his son. That's it. It was nothing in you, friend. It was nothing in me. But he saw the righteousness of Christ. God saw his own son, the blood of his own son, and you in him. And he declared that thing a pearl. Because without it, friends, without it, vileness, darkness, for the best of us, friends, the best of us. But he saw that, and that's the great mystery. That's the great joy. And that is the key, friend. That is the key. Jesus has wrapped himself, entwined himself in you, that no longer can you be separated if you are his, but you can declare, he is mine and I am his. I am the bridegroom's and he is mine. Oh, bride of Christ, can you declare that this morning? Because he saw you, God, the holy God of the universe, saw you in Christ. And he declared you that pearl and he found it. He sold all that he had and he bought it with his own blood. Christian friend, if you're his this morning, won't you go with that message? Won't you go with that message? Man doesn't need a better life, friend. He needs a new life. This is the radical gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he is so great, friend. He gave himself for you. Lovingly warn those who oppose themselves. There is an eternal reality when I walk out these doors. There is for you, there is for me. The years fly, friend. The years fly by. Give yourself to him. Give yourself to him. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a hymn as we close and as we move into a time of worship. And maybe we could do something different. Maybe you could search your heart this morning. As we sing Just As I Am, hymn 249. We're not going to sing it all 10 verses. Let's just sing it. Let's open our hearts to the Lord. If you've been confirmed this morning, because the message of the gospel is always this way, you're either convicted or you're confirmed. If you've been confirmed, stand bold. If you've been convicted, friend, I encourage you to come to him now, just as we sing this song. Hymn 249, please. Just As I Am. That's how we come, friend.